Coming at you live from Valhalla, this is Thor's Hour of Thunder, episode 56. You may note that I remembered to look up what episode we're on after two in a row where I had no idea. This is Thor coming at you as usual, live from Valhalla.
And this is your man, Baldur the Brilliant, coming at you once again from Las Vegas, Nevada. I am thinking of moving here, actually.
Now, Baldur, make sure I remember, I seem to vaguely remember after you missed the previous episode, you sent me a text that briefly explained why you missed it, and I believe it involved Dave Attell, a midget stripper, and a actual mule, drug mule, meaning a mule that was made of drugs that you smoked.
Wow, were you on hallucinogens at the time?
Well, we'll get the real story later. We're teasing that out. Let's just introduce who else we have with us today. We have the lovely lady Loki.
I'm knock, knock, knocking at heaven's door, but kind of hoping they don't answer.
Poor Loki is incredibly sick, and I made her appear on the podcast anyway because she's the only one of us who saw Hunger Games, and I...
Actually, I saw Hunger Games.
Oh, so I'm the only one of us who didn't see Hunger Games.
Yeah, wait. What kind of American are you? It was like you had to go see Hunger Games or else they threw you out of the country.
Have you read the book?
Oh, no.
See,
God, no.
I read one page past exactly half of the book because I didn't love it, but I wanted to read more than half of it so I'd have enough material to be able to talk about it on the podcast. So most of us have experienced it in some way. We have a fourth member of the Pantheon joining us, and I think I mentioned before that she's been on more than 10 episodes, so that's my new strategy is obviously there'll be some episodes that'll just be me and Baldur, and most episodes will be me and Baldur and Loki, but the newest permanent host, I guess Himdall actually has been on more than 10 too, but he hasn't been on one since I realized that. So Himdall, if you're listening, now you technically are a co-host as well now, but the girl I'm waiting to introduce is Freyja, the lady who has a J in her name, or possibly doesn't, depending on whether me or Loki is editing the episode. Freyja, where are you coming at us from?
From the kitchen with my chariot that has cats. Which means that sometimes I might be flying off with the cats and not be talking for long periods of time.
So, you say your chariot...
Neat explanation.
You say your chariot drawn by cats. Now, Thor's chariot is obviously... My own chariot is obviously famously... I used to do that when I did the Thor character... before we recorded, I had him, like the one I'm trying to write for the upcoming episode of The Shadow, is he refers to himself as Thor in the third person, and I kind of should start doing that. But so my own
spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, by the way, those of you listening, we have an episode very close to being ready to air of our old radio show The Shadow that we used to do in college. I'm going to include a link to two things on the episode description. One is going to be, we've had some feedback that people want to get the old episodes that we've had to take off due to Podomatic's space constraints, so we opened up a second Podomatic account that's called Thor's Hour of Thunder Classic, and I'm going to include a link to that.
Oh god, we've become a soda.
It's a second account, and we're going to post things on there, and then once that fills up, we'll may open a third account called like Thor's Classic 2 or something. You can access it at Hour of Thunder 2, so I guess we'll have to call it Thor's Classic 3. Hour of Thunder 2. .podomatic.com. And the other thing is I'm going to include a link to the old we recorded these live on our crappy college radio station, so they sound like crap because we were on our crappy college radio station. They also sound like crap because none of us bothered to read the scripts before in them, but performing them, but to get you guys to have an idea of what's going on before we unleash upon you our new version of this, which is parodies of Orson Welles' The Shadow. We should have this up. It's going to be definitely, as we teased before, it's going to be definitely, you know, sometime in early April, which we're in. So I'm talking, I didn't want to edit that. So we have a friend of ours, the lovely male, I guess he should be the handsome then, Officer Sparkles.
Men can be lovely too.
That's true.
It's the 21st century.
But Officer Sparkles is definitely not lovely.
So one thing I have to ask though, if the second website is going to be Thor's Hour of Thunder Classic, does that make this new Thor's Hour of Thunder?
Yes, it tastes like Pepsi and everyone fucking hates it.
That's what I was afraid of.
So,
Frasier, gonna revert back to old Thor?
So Frasier, did you see any of, although actually speaking of classic, Pepsi Classic? It's not anywhere near as good as Mexican Coca-Cola, which uses real sugar, but I like that they actually sell it without you having to like track it down. Pepsi sells something called Pepsi Classic, which is Pepsi made with the original sugar ingredients rather than now where most of the sweetening, all of the sweetening rather, actually comes from corn. Which
corn sugar is still sugar.
Yes, but it tastes like dick.
Oh.
Well, it's sugar plus
each
dick.
Each their own, I suppose.
Which is, you know why it tastes like dick? It's because corn is shaped like a dick.
Wow, knobbly like that? Which ones have you been seeing?
Is there something wrong? Should I be seeing a dermatologist?
Yeah, pretty Uh-oh. Much.
I'm making popcorn.
Oh no, she blew up a dick.
Wow, okay, so things that need to remain behind closed doors in the future.
Exploding dicks everywhere.
So, I don't think I can eat popcorn anymore after Trolls 2, where that guy, like, suffocated.
That was fantastic.
Under all the popcorn.
Oh, and Loki, I forgot to mention, Loki edited that episode. I forgot to mention that in the description. Thank you so much. That episode was such a pain in the butt to edit. I really appreciate it, and it turned out really well. Hunger Games. Let's get first Loki before she dies. Description or review, rather, or you know, thoughts on the Hunger Games movie.
I did not like it at all.
Sean. Ah, shit.
I loved it actually.
Did you really?
Surprise.
Oh, speaking of me saying the wrong names, for the drinking game tonight, those of you joining us for the first time, anytime you're listening, drink. Anytime any of us uses our real names instead of our Norse god pantheonic names, drink. Anytime anyone stumbles over a thought, so pretty much anytime I talk, and drink anytime we mention the fact that we're drinking. Right now, I'm going to try and work my way through a variety six-pack that I got at the pizza place that's across the street from my apartment. This pizza place has terrible pizza, but a fantastic beer selection, because Philly has weird liquor laws, so you end up having to get beer if you want to get less than a 24-pack at places like pizza shops, or actually straight from a bar, weirdly enough, you can get them to go. So I am drinking right now a Midas Touch, which is a ale made of only four or five ingredients, and it's based on a recipe. King Midas is fictional, but I believe this is based on a Babylonian recipe. The Dogfish Head Brewery, which is a fantastic company based in Delaware, made I believe it was called a 1,000-year-old ale or something like that, based on a ancient recipe, and it was a huge hit. So this was the follow-up to it called Midas Touch. I forget which era this recipe is from.
I want to see the evidence that the recipe is actually that old.
No, it was from, if you go to the website for both of these, they have like the archaeologist who discovered the recipe in a tomb describing like him translating it. I read a really cool article in Mental Floss about it.
So they have it in cuneiform?
It may have been cuneiform, yeah. I forget. Would that be, did the Babylonians use cuneiform?
Ooh. Unicorn. That sounds like a ancient Babylonian ingredient.
Dude, the cuneiform unicorn.
Before the deluge, and God killed all the cool animals.
If I ever start a hip hop group, it's going to be the Cuneiform Unicorns.
Okay.
So, Loki, what did you hate about it? Baldur, what did you like about it? Frasier, did you see it?
Mike was on silent. Sorry. I didn't see it, so I'm neutral.
Oh, excellent.
I just knew that there was the whole racist comments on Twitter that I heard about.
Interesting, because in the
racist book, comments on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't. Well, can you tell us about this briefly, Frasier?
Well, I guess some people read the books, but not very closely, and didn't realize that Suzanne Collins had actually sort of made references to skin colors. And so when Rue, I think, and Cinna came on the screen, people were annoyed that they weren't white.
What?
And went on Twitter and were like, oh, I don't like this character as much anymore. Oh,
Jesus Christ. This country is so messed up sometimes. Can you believe it's 2012? Can you believe we have a fucking black president and people are still angry about there being minorities in movies? God.
A black Muslim president.
I loved the photos from the rally to restore sanity where there was someone with a protest sign that said, wait a second, I thought I voted for a Muslim. Now I'm pissed. Except more concise.
That was pretty concise.
It was even shorter. It was two words long.
Muslim what?
Muslim WTF, mate. So yeah, I guess we'll start with, in terms of the, well, yeah, first of all, that, as someone who did read, 51% of the book, yeah, they say her, I believe, more tan skin or darker skin or something like that. It's the way someone who wasn't racist 100 years from now where they didn't, you know, cause race isn't, like, this society is very classist, you know? Mm. So, yeah. But they're not the, you know, at least in the book, race is never an issue. Like, there's the capital that just suppresses anyone who's not in the capital. So, of course, it's not like the person's going to be, like, the African-American character, because it's from the first person. So, Jesus Christ, people are idiots. Anyway, what didn't you like about it, Loki?
I didn't like the whole shaky camera thing that's, like, really in vogue right now in a lot of things. I find it very disorienting. And
I'll actually agree with you on that. That's a good point.
Well, what's weird is it wasn't
for, like, maintaining a PG-13 rating because you sort of distort the violence of a scene. But it does the whole narrative a sort of disservice to, like, let us not know what the geography of the area is or geography of the fight is. I feel sort of bad for the fight choreographer.
Yeah.
Entire job has been thrown out the window.
Well, and that's that was a major complaint I had about Quantum of Solace, which I actually really liked. A lot of people didn't like the script, but the Quantum of Solace, they got the cinematographer from the second and third Bourne movie, who is
really big into that. Yeah.
A piece of shit cinematographer. Paul Greengrass is the director of the second and third Bourne movie. Doug Liman, who directed the movie Go, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, directed the first Bourne movie, which has 1,000 times the cinematography. It's just so much better put together. The second and third Bourne movies, unfortunately, I think have a better script and better cast actors like David Strathern, and what's her name, who's, I'm blanking on, the woman who plays the one who's kind of sympathetic toward Bourne in the second and third, not Julia Stiles, but anyway. So, but yeah, they're just so badly directed. Not badly directed, obviously. Greengrass is a very talented director. He just chooses a style of direction and basically originated that whole shaky cam method since he came out of as a documentary filmmaker and sort of was like, well, when I film a documentary, sometimes I can't get the shot.
I'm imagining him as an alien chest popper right now.
He came out of a documentary filmmaker's body. That was why Michael Moore is so fat, is because there are actually other filmmakers gestating inside of him.
Oh, why can't he just pop finally?
that's a very good point, Loki. And then Mr. Balder, what did you like about it?
I thought it was a fun action movie. I thought the design of whatever pan America, the post-apocalyptic world where a former airline company rules everything. I just thought the design, the costuming, makeup, it was really fun to watch. I actually, you know what? A lot of people say that it was quite slow at the beginning because we're taking so much time to do sort of the window dressing, and we get to see the world of this mythology. And I actually wished they had spent more time on that and less time on the Hunger Games itself.
Same here.
I disagree. I feel like we didn't get enough of that. Like, I had no idea what the topography of this land was, and like they sort of imply that it was the United States, but.
Oh, no, we're actually in agreement. I want more of that.
And less Hunger
Games.
Yeah,
I wanted to know, like, where is the capital? Like, it If it is the United States, they sort of imply that it's in the middle of the United States.
It's like in Kansas Colorado.
It's what?
It's in Colorado. The book
oh, please
is...
please tell me the post-apocalyptic world is that Hunter S. Thompson has been hiding out for years. He faked his death so he could secretly create a neo-Roman state that's seemingly designed by Dr. Seuss.
You know that the world has ended when Donald Sutherland is leading the way.
Although, actually, Donald Sutherland, I feel like could pull off a Hunter S. Thompson in terms of if you watch him in Kelly's Heroes, he totally can do the, like, or in Animal House, he totally can pull off the just intelligent but drugged off his fucking mind type of character. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do for the second movie, because there obviously is going to be a sequel, and apparently the president plays a larger role in the second and third books. I didn't bother. So I read the book, and actually, yeah, I really liked the whole, that's the thing is the book up until, like, spends half the book, you know, the first 100 whatever pages, I guess 150 or so pages, describing the, you know, the world. And it was, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, they explained she's from the Appalachias. I forget where, like, oh yeah, New York City is gone. It was like nuked, completely obliterated, at least according to the first book. I don't know if there will be some sort of twist a la, not to give away.
Oh,
Logan's Run,
I have
but...
so many good spoilers I could be dropping on you right now.
Oh, well, you can feel free to. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read The Hunger Games, you prob if you haven't read all three books of The Hunger Games, I'd actually be surprised. I feel like everyone I talk to has. Go yeah, ahead, what happens?
Well, you know how there's supposed to be 12 tributary states and everybody has to send representatives? There's
yeah.
a 13th one. The 13th one that got nuked away. But guess what? When they're on the run from the authorities, they rediscover it.
Oh,
and
so
there are people there that are trying to overthrow the government.
Wait, so it is literally exactly like Logan's Run then, other than the fact that there's actually people there. But in terms
oh, it's
of
actually
like...
much, much creepier. It's creepier that it's much more similar to this Japanese book, which I don't know if you've heard about the controversy. People have been calling out the Hunger Games.
Well, I knew they said it was like battle.
But they were calling it actually to be a complete ripoff. And
oh, sorry, of which one?
Of Battle Royale, the Japanese novel and book. And
I don't.
Novel and book, pardon me. Novel and book.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I've seen Battle Royale, and I've seen The Running Man. And actually, if anything, I thought it was more of a ripoff of The Running Man, because Battle Royale is not being televised, right? And at least in the book, that's
in the book it is. In the book it is.
Oh, shit! Wow!
Yeah. In the book it is, and what other elements of it that are different? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll talk more about that, but let's just finish talking about the Hunger Games, and then I can give you the how creepy it was the same, and why I think I still will always prefer Battle Royale to it.
Interesting.
But still enjoyed the movie. I like Katniss. I liked her character.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Really? Well, of course you did. There's no reason not to like her. She was like way too perfect. We sort of knew always that she was going to succeed at what she was trying to do.
She
never did anything wrong.
She was a
stoic
sage. She was a superhero. That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, but she didn't have a weakness.
Really? That's interesting, because in the book, that's the part I loved about the book. That's why it started to lose me once it got into the actual games, because it had to focus more on the action. Most of the book, because it's written from the first person, that's what I thought was strong about the book. That's why I think the book is, I've definitely preferred it to the Harry Potter series, because they, and with the Harry Potter series, same deal, I had no interest in it, but I thought it was well written. With this, I thought the characters were much less annoying than in Harry Potter, and I thought that in the book, the whole thing, since it's from the first person, it's so cool how, like, the author's able to convey all this information and everything, but it's filtered through the perspective of a teenage girl, and I thought they writ perfectly for the insecurity and anger and, like, snarkiness that a teenage girl has. So all of that was whitewashed out of the character.
Because
in the movie.
Thor, as we all know, used to be a teenage girl.
Hey, the operation went very well.
I paid for it.
Yeah. Well, I do say I felt bad that you had to rob that bank and then you got arrested and Sonny got killed, but at least you were able to sell the rights from prison to make that Al Pacino movie to get my sex change.
It all works out in the end, doesn't it? Okay, so here's the thing that I want to jump in about the character of Katniss that... from what I hear, I haven't read the book yet, but I hear it comes out in the book that they just totally dropped out of the movie, is that in that the first entry into the trilogy, she's not actually in love with PETA. And it was just this whole her falling in love with him in the movie. In the book, it was, from what I understand, she faking falling in love.
For the cameras, yes.
For the cameras to keep her to keep herself alive. And doesn't that imply that really maybe her weakness is her inability to relate to people. She's too self-reliant.
Oh, wow. So at the end of the movie, when she saves PETA, because at the end of, in the book, she says she's saving PETA and she, like, you know, makes it clear that she's doing it because fuck the Capitol and fuck the Hunger Games. In the movie, does she save him because she's in love? Does she not kill him because she's in love with him?
Yes.
Wow, that's a major fucking change.
Yeah, they actually do. It was taking a turn for the Twilight, I think, at the end with the love triangle, because, you know, Baby Thor is what we're going to call other Hemsworth, right? The guy who played Katniss's other love interest.
Oh, he does look like Chris Hemsworth. Is he related to Chris Hemsworth?
He's his younger brother.
No shit! Yeah. That was the other thing, too, is I thought PETA should have been fatter because he was a baker's son, so he was the only person who had access to food. I thought he should have...
I want to give a Kostas Gloop a freaking machine gun.
Well, the whole point was that he was really strong, but it seemed like he was one of the few people in their town who had access to food at all times. So yeah, I thought he should have been like an Andre the Giant style guy who's like kind of awkward with how big he is and is big. Now, I get that they wanted to have a hot guy. Although I think that Wes Bentley with that awesome beard was hot enough for everything.
Wait, which one was that?
The guy with the ridiculous beard that like flooped in
the
was
host of the game.
Oh, yes, thank you. I didn't think that beard was weird, so I was not making that connection.
It was awesome. It wasn't weird. It was the greatest beard ever. If I could grow my hair that thick on my, you know, face, I would do that. But instead, I'm gonna have to shave it into my pubes.
Hey, did you see I was kind of geeking out when I noticed a minor character was being played by the guy who played the Dream Lord in a really great episode of Doctor Who, and Dr. Arnim Zola, the sidekick evil Nazi guy from the Captain America movie.
I like that actor. He was also Truman Capote in the second Truman Capote movie that came out after Philip Seymour Hoffman's that no one liked or saw. But he was perfect as Truman Capote because he's tiny.
Yeah, so I was super excited to see him. Mm-hmm. I thought putting him with Stanley Tucci was just fun. They just looked hilarious.
I liked both of them. I didn't.
Only person who I think was missing from that lineup of newscasters was, can you imagine if they put Christopher Walken in that?
Holy shit, that would have been the greatest movie ever. Yeah. Well, can someone give Walken a goddamn Academy Award already? He's been nominated twice. He's like one of the best actors out there. I guess he would have to stop doing like blatant genre movies for a little while to get another nomination.
He doesn't need it. He's better than it.
I know he doesn't need it, but it would be nice just in terms of people who watch movies because an Oscar, you know, winner, or like how Turner Movie Classics plays movies with Oscar winners. It'd be nice to have, like, you know, Kangaroo Jack 2 with the Oscar winning performance by Christopher Walken.
We'll just give him like the Peter O'Toole Lifetime Achievement Award.
Can they rename that award the Peter O'Toole Lifetime Achievement Award? P.S. What was the deal with them not letting Oprah talk? You would think if they're giving an award to a woman who's never been in movies just to try and get ratings, they would have at least let her talk.
She was in a movie.
The Color Purple?
Yes.
And then she was
in two, right?
Beloved, that everyone hated. Yeah.
Well, the two movies are two movies.
It sounds like...
You can't take that away from her, ever. Even though you might like to.
So, in terms of Hunger Games, I just wanted to mention briefly that guy, Wes Bentley, is I think, a really talented actor. He was the guy who, filmed The Paper Bag in American Beauty, and then was in another strong film that I haven't had a chance to watch all the way through because I only watched the first 20 minutes of movies, called The Claim, which is a Western. And then immediately after filming those movies, started doing all of the heroin and has been just sort of, you know, like his career completely went off the rails because he would only do movies where they wouldn't mind that he was doing heroin on set, which are not very good movies. So he ended up in Ghost Rider. the original with him and Peter Fonda both playing like the devil and like son of the devil.
Yeah.
But he's off smack, and he did a Broadway play that was really well reviewed, and it got him this part.
Called Off Smack.
Yes!
It's an off-Broadway play. Yeah. Oh, I could... No, I'm going to stop right there, because that's really bad.
Yeah. Oh, please. Bad jokes are like the bread and butter of this fucking podcast. So
yes, that's true.
We do need to let Loki not die. So, Loki, I know you had something for the... retro segment that I'm blanking on the name of, even though I thought of it.
Delayed reactions.
Woo! 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 Yeah.
Wait, what?
Delayed reaction. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Oh, yeah. I remember we started doing this. You see what I did there? See, that was in itself a delayed reaction.
I remember you making the exact same meta joke when we did this segment, and you know what? I hope you make it every time.
Because it only gets funnier the more I explain it.
So, Loki, what did you see?
I read Ender's Game.
Oh,
nice. I like that.
Which is a nice comparison to Hunger Games, actually.
They both have the word game in the title.
Yes. And they have children in precariously adult-like/danger situations.
Oh, that was another thing.
Anything that sells books, it's the exploitation of children.
Oh, speaking of which, that's the problem. That's why I had no interest in seeing the movie, is because Katniss, you know, in the book is 16, and she, like, I get that you want to have a really hot chick. I was actually talking to someone about this a coworker a few weeks ago, about, like, she was like, yeah, you know, like, I, you know, as a woman, I wish that, like, when they drew women in comics, they made them actually look how they would. If they were, you know, like, oh, if, you know, if they're not like a, you know, like Wonder Woman or whatever, or Power Girl, they're just super powered. But like, if they're not, then they should look like someone who, you know, like they, you know, they shouldn't have the big tits and everything. And I'm like, I agree with you, but I see why they always have women in comics be hot. So it was totally that factor with Katniss, because like watching the trailers, I'm like, there's no way Katniss should look like this. The whole point is she's malnourished. She has to hunt for her own food. She really, if they wanted to make Hunger Games instead of making it Twilight, which apparently is what they wanted to do, and it clearly paid off because it had $155 million in 3 days, the second biggest opening weekend of all time. It's ridiculous. It beat The Dark Knight. It beat Avatar.
I participated in that feat.
It only didn't beat Harry Potter Part 7 Part 2.
Part 7 Part 2. But
really
one
quick
thing you want to think about is with the Jennifer Lawrence, the actress who played Katniss.
She's too old and she's too hot.
Yeah, you know who they should have gotten?
Hannah!
Montana?
No, Saoirse Ronan. Frasia, how's that name actually pronounced? The Irish girl who I think is the best actress under 30 right now, who was in Hannah and was amazing in Atonement. It was nominated for Academy Award in Atonement and was in the little scene but awesome romantic comedy starring Paul Rudd and Michelle Pfeiffer, playing Michelle Pfeiffer's daughter in 2005, called I Could Never Be Your Woman. Saoirse Ronan.
I think it's Saoirse.
No, sure.
Because remember, we have to account for the Nordic pronunciation.
How's it actually pronounced, Frasia, so people can...
I think it's Saoirse Ronan.
That's
not...
what? S-I-O-R-S-E or something like that?
I think it's S-A-I-O-R-S-E.
Q-R-S-T-U-V?
Yes, exactly. You got it.
I like that I did not say the alphabet correctly there. So who were you going to say?
I would have preferred Hit Girl from Kick-Ass.
Yeah, because she's 15. So
she's age appropriate, and we know that she can do action movies.
That would have been really good. She's almost like, because she's 15, so it would have worked. She's so young, I would have been uncomfortable with, but that might have been a good thing.
That would have been a good thing.
Yeah, because that was the thing that actually...
The idea is they're making children kill each other.
Yes,
It should be disturbing.
That's a really good point.
Weird, and make you sort of sick, but you keep watching it anyway.
Yeah, because Saoirse is 18. Actually, she's turning 18 in April, I think. I'm looking at her biography right now. It says April 12th, maybe? I can't read. Anyway, so happy birthday, Saoirse Ronan. But she doesn't look as old. Like, Lawrence is not that much older than her, but you know, at least in Hannah, she was super, like, you know, she's very, you know, I guess she obviously got, you know, like worked out all the time for that movie, but she had sort of the, you know, she looked thin and waifish, but also, you know, like strong, which is the character you need to have. So I guess, yeah, what's her name? Chloe, what's the actress from Hit Girl?
Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, Chloe Moretz, definitely they would have had to have her, you know, kind of not bulk up, but they would have had to have her look, you know, she's, at least when I see her, I've actually have not seen Kick-Ass because I think it's going to be too, because it has violent comedy in it, right? Which I feel like it might not be my kind of movie.
Oh yeah, they explode a man in a microwave.
Yeah, that I probably won't like that. Though it's funny, I do get the title confused with Sucker Punch occasionally. Frasier was just talking about how she saw the back half of Sucker Punch. And I was like, yeah, I've never seen that. And she's like, no, it's like your favorite movie. And I'm like, no, isn't that the one with Hit Girl?
Oh my God. There is no hope for us, is there?
No. I don't know names. I just know faces and trivia.
So, but what about Ender's Game? What'd you think of that?
I liked it a lot. Especially as compared to Hunger Games. I just like series better when they set up the rules of the world that we're living in. So whereas like Ender's Game was like, this is the U.S. in 70 years after a alien attack, da-da-da. The exposition let all of that out at different times in a way that was pretty clear. And I kind of got a sense of where we were, even though I didn't ever understand everything right away.
Mm-hmm. I would say read the wiki article on the book Hunger Games, because I think that is a shame if they made all that unclear, but it does sound like they sort of threw all that by the wayside to... Yeah, yeah, that is a bummer, because that was, like I said, the thing I liked most about the book was how precise it was at setting up the world and how precise it was at describing it, and then how precise she was at capturing what it's like to be, you know, and obviously I was not a teenage girl despite our, you know, reconning that. But,
keep lying to our audience. Maybe they'll believe you one day.
I feel like it did capture the insecurity that any teenager feels, even if you're in this extreme situation. She was reacting the way, you know, the way we did to middle school and high school, you know, with like, holy shit, like, what is this person thinking? Do I really know what's going on? You know, but except in this, it's a life or death situation.
Yeah, I don't really like violence or children in violent situations, so I don't think I'm going
to
read.
Oh, didn't you have the bartender turn off about it? No, I said just read the wiki description just to see if it gives you a better idea of the capital.
No,
and everything.
I didn't ask the bartender to turn it off. I just didn't look at the television.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing Battle Royale.
Yeah, Sean, we were at a bar that was... Damn it, I keep saying Sean. Balder, we were at a bar that was playing Battle Royale, and, well, he did get the idea that you didn't like it, because he was flirting with you, Loki, and was like, hey, I can put on something else if you're not feeling this.
I'm pretty sure it was a female bartender.
No, it was the guy who said that to you.
Oh.
Yeah, and he said that and then put on an even more violent movie, because I think he thought she just didn't like Battle Royale, not because that bar plays mostly kung fu
movies.
He
just thought you were a racist and hated Japanese people.
No. I think he just thought she didn't like that particular kung fu movie, so he put on a 70s, like a really violent 70s kung fu movie as opposed to that one.
Which wasn't any more helpful.
That movie was awesome, though. It was like, Sean, it was, what's, damn it, Balder. It was, I picked a bad episode to not have Loki go through an edit. So, it was, what's that genre you were telling me about that, like, Story of Ricky is in? That's, like, extreme, but, like very, like, bad effects violence from Japan and China?
Something I said?
Yeah, you're talking about this genre that's like just ridiculous violence.
Oh, yeah, Tokyo Gore, man.
Tokyo Gore, yeah. This was definitely, if it wasn't one of those, because I think it might have been a Chinese film, it was definitely a similar aesthetic where it was just like ridiculous effects of like, you know, blood everywhere and heads collapsing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, those are the best.
See, and that's cartoon violence that I can enjoy, because watching it now, the thing that's funny about it is not that it's violence trying to be humorous, because those movies did not use violence to be funny at the time, right? Those were sincerely trying to be violent, and we just find them funny now because the effects are so shitty.
No, it was tongue-in-cheek.
Really? Oh, yeah. So it was tongue-in-cheek, though.
No one does gore without trying to make it way over... Over-the-top gore is always done unless it's really relentless and cruel. It's done for laughs. You gotta believe that it's done for laughs.
Yeah, and I guess that's the difference, is because one of my favorite movies is Evil Dead 2. And that is, I guess that's the difference, is I don't like violence, like someone, like Three Stooges, like someone getting, you know, hurt. But I like that stuff because it's just so, like, Evil Dead 2 is incredibly gory, but it's so ridiculous, and it's all, like, dead body, like, it's so over the top, I guess, like you said, that I find it, it's no longer something that I feel bad for the character, because... you know, it's so unrealistic.
Mm.
So let's give Loki a break and let her say more on Ender's Game, and then you can do a thunder round if you're up for it, and then we'll let you go back to slowly dying of West Nile virus.
Yeah. Well, no, I just thought it was a really good
point. You don't laugh at violence, but you laugh at someone suffering through a disease. Go you.
Because it's not in a movie. She's actually sick.
It's funny because it's true.
To quote Kelso in That 70s Show, what have you learned? That it's funny when friends get hurt.
No, I liked it a lot. It was really compelling. It was a really quick read, which I know never sounds like a positive thing, but I get it in the best way possible. I really enjoyed it. I actually didn't like the end. There's a big twist at the end where we found out that the thing that he's been practicing for is actually the thing that he's just done, which I thought was a little unfair. I felt like that subverted our respect for the narrative, but it kind of kept in with the tone of just farming Ender for his ability to, like, lead a platoon of people into battle. Mm-hmm. So I see why they did it, but I was mad that they did it to me, the audience.
Well, that reminds
me
of
tricky.
That reminds me of why I got pissed at the second story in Night Watch, which Sean gave me a copy. Balder! Damn it! You should, if you're not drunk, ladies and gentlemen.
See, the thing is, we'd be much drunker than we are, except Loki's drinking medicine, and I'm drinking the tears of children.
But I mean, if you're listening and you haven't, I've said Baldur's real name about 1,000 times, so you should be barely able to hear this podcast as you, like, you know, as from over the sound of yourself vomiting. I'm on my second beer now.
I did that a couple of podcasts ago.
And you weren't even drinking. You were just sick. Man, we've had a string of... And I had strep throat like 2 episodes ago. Apparently, I only found it out after we recorded. But man, we've had... This has been... spring is a time that us gods
are... Or it's hour of sickness.
Yeah, that us gods are...
Be careful as you listen to this.
Like, yes. Be careful or you might get a computer virus.
All right, I think I'm going to have to tap out.
All right. Okay. Oh, well, we're going to read emails. You sure you don't want to stay for that?
No, I really got to get going.
All right. Well, this is thanks a bunch, Loki. We'll carry on and read. We have a little bit of fan mail.
Hey, before you go, Loki, let me just say, you get to win tonight. You got a score of 92, and no one's beating it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a bunch, by the way, Loki, for tuning in. This is definitely calling in, rather. This is definitely the sickest any of us have ever been that we've actually recorded. And I had to cancel the session on Friday because I wasn't feeling well. So I appreciate you not letting – I appreciate you holding yourself to a higher standard than I hold myself to.
It's a gift and a curse.
You're better, Loki.
Bye.
Send your well wishes to Loki and photographs of the soup that you made her but cannot deliver to her to hourofthunder@gmail.com. hourofthunder. I almost got messed up there. At Gmail.
Tripping over your thoughts. Tripping over your thoughts. I'm just saying.
Drink on that note, everyone. At least the listeners. So my second beer I'm drinking right now is Duck Rabbit Milk Stout. Its logo is that old drawing that is of both a duck and a rabbit, depending on how you look at it. And it tastes as good as that logo. And on the actual... bottle itself, relatively famous drawing is drawn with a red eye, so I'm pretty sure it's some kind of duck rabbit terminator. So, email time now.
The Drabinator. Copyright.
He makes everything drab.
He's a man with a gray paintball gun.
I like it. So we have an email from a man named Kenneth, a fan. We'll not say his last name on the air in case he didn't want to, who says, hey guys, just listened to your podcast for the first time. I sent this about 10 days ago. Can I suggest something? More Loki, please.
Well, that's here's to giving the people exactly what they want.
So, Kenneth, and he says, but I love the show. Awesome stuff. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for writing in. We promise we'll let Loki talk more in the future, but obviously not tonight.
But we'll work on that in the future, he says sarcastically.
Well, the difference is I think all of us get the same amount of opportunities to talk. Me and Balder are just way more eager to interrupt people.
Oh, yes, we are.
But
this is Fox News in podcast form. I get to be Sean. See, that's it. You're not actually calling me by my real name. You're just calling me Sean Hannity.
Is he the guy with the... Dude, yeah, Sean Hannity. I've only seen him on The Daily Show because I don't...
He's the one that looks like the cross between John Goodman and an 8-year-old boy.
Thank you! That is such a great description. I was about to say, I've only seen him on The Daily Show. And yeah, he looks way too, like, just innocuous to be, like, I mean, I think, the interesting thing about Fox News is there are some people on Fox News that, regardless of your political affiliation, you know, they kind of do their own thing, but I don't think it's any better or worse than what people, you know, do on the other side, what someone like Michael Moore does. But then there's some people on Fox News.
Olbermann.
What's it?
Olbermann.
Yeah, Olbermann is definitely, but that's the thing, there's some people like Olbermann.
Rachel Maddow, it's hot.
She is hot.
It's a damn shame she's playing for the other team, but, you know. Yeah. Rachel, if you're listening and you're curious.
Wait, are you a Fox News fan, Balder? I didn't know that about you.
What are you talking about? I'm a fan of punditry in all its forms. I find it hilarious.
Oh, I thought you meant she's playing for the other team in that she's on a liberal network and you're conservative, which I was surprised to hear because I didn't think you were. You mean, wait, oh, she's a lesbian.
Sexually.
Oh, I didn't realize she was a lesbian. I just knew she was liberal. Wait, are all liberal people lesbians now? Did I miss that?
Yep.
Whoa, does that mean Barack Obama's a lesbian?
A Muslim lesbian.
Well, I guess he is a lesbian because he is married to a woman. Filthy.
Well, see, can't do that in America. Well, at least most of it. Until the next election cycle. Cross his fingers. Sarcasm. Sarcasm. I'm actually not a bigot.
Okay, yeah, I know, exactly. Well, there's people like that, and then, you know, it is kind of funny. We mentioned on the podcast before, sort of the difference between, God, friggin', we mentioned on it, last episode, the difference between friggin', Limbaugh's just, you know, every time I've ever seen a clip of Limbaugh, he's just been such a dickhead, and that most recent thing with the pill stuff, I was glad he got backlash on it, but I was kind of surprised. I mean, it was... awful, but I was kind of surprised that I mentioned in the previous one, I don't know why he doesn't get that every week. I guess that must have just went more viral, because have you seen the clip Colbert showed of him playing, him saying he was complaining about the fact that the president of China doesn't speak English when he does press conferences? And which one is not a valid argument in any way, shape, or form. Obama doesn't speak in Chinese when he's in China. And then, second, he does that incredibly awful, like, Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's level offensive impression of an Asian person. And that didn't get any backlash at all. So I guess, you know, it's...
Here's the thing. I think it has just to do with there are certain words that if you get caught saying, you get attacked by the PC police. And no matter what the context was, it's not what the point you were trying to make with these terrible words. It's the fact that you said certain words that have been put off the game board, as it were.
Well, that's a
you're
shame.
You're not allowed to play it in Scrabble, you know?
I,
I think, you know, I mean,
because when he apologizes, well, he apologizes for saying those.
Oh,
words. Not because he is taking back the sentiment or the mean-spiritedness of it. I'm sorry I called her a slut. I didn't mean to say slut. I meant it in my mind, but I probably shouldn't have said it for fear of advertisers pulling out.
That is such a good point because, yeah, that, and exactly that, like you said. And it's funny about, like you say, PC police because I, you know, definitely, I mean, Limbaugh, you know, like I said, I think it's, you know, he, I think, is just, you know, not, you know, regardless of your political opinion, I am not, like, you know, I'm not a liberal, actually, but I, you know, I just think, you know, Limbaugh is not good discourse, you know, I mean, he's just very, you know, it's just, you know, what's it called, like, you know, the other, like, just making people feeling better because they feel like they're better than this enemy. What's that line from Bob Dylan in the song Only a Pawn, where he says, you... the South politician preaches to the poor white man. You've got more than the black, so don't complain. I feel like that is Limbaugh. He's like the, you know, that, like the George McGovern is not the word I'm looking for. I'm sorry, George McGovern, liberal 1972 presidential candidate. I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, George McGovern had the same problem that Romney's going to have.
Yeah, no, but I meant George Wallace, who ran against McGovern for the Democratic ticket, but despite being a Democrat, was definitely that atypical Southern politician who fed on fear of the other, which I think is what Limbaugh does. Any thoughts on this, Frasia, actually, who does research on things? Frasia is off on her cart of what animal cats. Did she say it was?
Cats. It was cats.
Cats and meow. Cats. Yes. Oh, the cats are back.
Would you stop watching musicals?
I was raped.
A coup by singing Memory. It's horrible.
I was raped by Mr. Mistopheles.
Hey, so is anyone else excited about the Dark Shadows movie besides me?
Oh,
me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't the only one because it's, again, Johnny Depp playing Johnny Depp, but...
Well, he's playing Edward Scissorhands, basically, this time, it looks like.
We're playing, like, what happens when the Twilight kids grow up. They turn out to be Johnny Depp and are still just as creepy.
Well, apparently it's based on Reverend Peter Lowes, who does Flicks That Church Forgot, who actually wrote a cool letter back to us explaining that when we were talking about Baptist, he was saying that Baptist in – I asked him about that, and he said Baptist in England is actually a completely different type of church than Baptist in America. So when you think like Southern Baptist,
you got your Southern Baptist, you got your various Baptist synods. Oh,
but that's what he said, is that it's actually not the same belief system, interestingly enough. They have Baptist.
They have I think the UK Baptist church has more in common with the Methodist than they do with the American Baptists.
Yeah, which is interesting because the Methodist rite is sort of a more, I guess, progressive, for lack of a better word, right? They have female reverence.
It's hard because that's the brilliant of Protestantism. Brilliant of Protestantism is that no religion sticks to a particular doctrinal system. You've got your right and your left wings of pretty much every Protestant variation.
Oh, so, interesting.
You know, so when the Church of England. So you got, you know, the Anglican Communion, you get your high church, which are more Catholic looking, you got your low church, which are more Presbyterian looking, and then Methodism was a reform movement within the Anglican Church that eventually broke off because they weren't going to make any differences in the Anglican hierarchy, so they just said to do their own.
Interesting. So yeah. That was even...
The Wellesleys were pretty cool people.
What was that?
The Wellesleys were pretty cool people.
And wait, Ron Weasley? What does he have to do with this?
John and Charles Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley Crusher on Star Trek.
Oh my god, no, that's Will Wheaton.
Thank you for pronouncing it the way Stewie pronounces Wheatthins.
Wheatthins.
Have you seen the commercial?
Can I mean this commercial? No.
Oh, Frasier, actually, you had a thought on that about why they threw Peter in there at the end. right?
I did?
I thought you were saying that you thought that was them owning up to, like making fun of the fact that they were selling out, right?
Yeah, like they're kind of doing like a wink-wink product placement, wink-wink. Well, yeah. Opposite of...
Yeah, yeah. Like they're so obviously whoring the product, and that was why they had Peter do it only in voiceover, right? Was to be like, it's like, but look, we're not gonna have like, you know, exactly that. He's like, can I be in your commercial? Like he actually is addressing. They're like, no, we want to, you know. Like I thought that was cute that they addressed the fact that they're in a commercial, because before that, it especially because I've only seen that ad online. And half the time I'm, you know, watching Family Guy on Adult Swim, so it seems like it could just be a segment in the show. So I thought that was cool that they made it clear, like, that it was a commercial, exactly. Ooh. Besides the fact that it's selling a product. Although I think I have a lot more respect for Seth MacFarlane than I probably should.
Yeah, so back to Dark Shadows. Never saw the... soap opera, though.
It's apparently 600 hours long because it aired every day.
That's insane.
Good.
I know.
Really pretty good in a bad, like good bad, bad good.
Well, it sounds like it's a similar tone to Hammer Horror, actually, but from an American perspective.
So super campy. That sounds like it'll be fun.
Well, the thing I love about Hammer is it's campy, but it's like, you know, you have such, like with Cushing and Lee, you have such good actors that it's just... You can watch it campily, but you can also watch it and actually be like, this is rad. Like, this is cool, you know? It's not like Batman campy, you know?
Oh, nothing's Batman campy.
Although I love, oh my God, Adam West is like, that performance in, especially in the Batman movie, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
I stole that joke once.
Not stole, lovingly homaged.
Homaged, yeah. I don't even know if that's a word. Yeah.
Homogenized. Well, there's
something I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to get your opinion of this. So, your opinion of the depiction of graphic violence in films aside, I want to at least give you my take on why I think that, while I enjoyed The Hunger Games, I thought it was a fun movie. I wish they spent more time to see more of Pan Am. and that I was sort of disappointed with The Hunger Games, and one of the reasons why the Hunger Games sequence I was disappointed with was because is it weird for me to say it wasn't violent enough? Well, and I mean, don't think I'm just some sort of like weirdo here that just gets off on watching people hack each other into pieces. I don't, but the idea is in my mind that the more you, when you take a really extreme concept like this, like the yearly slaughter of children in a way that sort of demeaned them, and where was that point that Peter was talking about, that whatever he wants to do, he doesn't want the games to change him. That's his biggest fear.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That he'll come out some sort of hardened, jaded person who is a little bit more okay with the death of other people.
Do they talk in the movie about, that was one of my favorite parts, was her describing, and I was like, man, why isn't this guy in the movie? She describes a previous year where a guy had gone like, you know, insane, and it started cannibalizing all the corpses, and then ooh, they had...
That was definitely not in the movie, but then they whitewashed a lot of the movie. A lot of the actual deaths of other tributes was dealt with off screen. There's very few confrontations that Katniss is directly involved with, and it's usually just the conflicts between the people from Region 1 and 2 and the big slaughter at the beginning of it, which is where we just kill off half the possible characters real fast.
Oh.
Where we don't have to develop them or worry about them.
That's interesting, because in the book, the slaughter, because it's from Katniss's perspective, that slaughter at the beginning is off screen. She sees one guy get killed, goes for the backpack, holds up the backpack, gets the knife in the backpack, and then she sees the, they have the big blimp that shows her the results. So she sees... Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So that was on screen in the movie, though? They showed that whole sequence?
But again, shaky cam. You saw some blood splatter. But I think
It's PG-13, right? It's not PG.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like there's nothing.
But it's funny that it's funny how, like, obviously they were going for like a PG-13 where parents wouldn't get offended because Bourne Ultimatum, or sorry, Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy. Bourne Supremacy was PG-13, and you see Carl Urban like smash his face through that windshield when he in the car wreck, you know?
Well, okay, so. And another thing that I didn't appreciate was that the producers of the show had to cause a bunch of deaths themselves, pretty much. We decided that you people aren't killing each other off enough, so we've left some bait to get more of you in one place at one time so that one of you will off the other. Or the final confrontation, or where they release mutant dogs after them, right?
See, I liked that because it made it more like Running Man. Like, it made it more obvious, at least in the book, it made it more obvious that the state, you know, like in Running Man where he releases the Arnold Schwarzenegger's two friends, you know, it makes it more obvious that it's the state is the bad guy. These people who are killing each other aren't actually the bad guys, you know?
And this is why I think we'll always prefer Battle Royale, because this is really more a story of rebellion against an unjust state, as opposed to a very twisted but very I think well-asked question of the extent of human morality.
Well, and I think that's
the idea with the Battle Royale, with we hyper up the violence and we make them come from all one class, is that, and we don't train them. That's another thing that I thought was kind of a letdown from the Hunger Games, is that they train them up beforehand to have a better fight.
And that's the point, is that they want it to be good television. It's supposed to be bread and circus. It's not throwing Christians to the lions. It's gladiator battles.
Yeah, no. I understand that, but what Battle Royale takes is sort of the Heath Ledger Joker perspective. That
do I look like a man with a plan?
Oh no, it's the line. You see. When the chips are down, the civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Oh yeah, can I just mention for a second that was my favorite part of Dark Knight, when Lester Tiny Phillips, the actor from
Tiny Lester, oh my god, Zeus,
yes, yeah, because I totally bought into that. I totally thought he was going to be the bad guy, and then they were going to have someone else, like some other prisoner, was going to like wrestle it from him. But then when he picks it up and he's like, I'll do what you can't, you know, and then throws it off the boat. That was amazing. That was so cool. Because Lester,
I was expecting Hulk Hogan to show up and say, no, no, no.
Oh my god, have you seen Hulk Hogan dancing to Lady Gaga wearing a feather boa?
No, but I think I have to.
it's kind of awesome, but it's kind of sad too. Like, it's like, really, Hulk, you're really this is what you're doing with your time.
Yeah, so I think end of the day, I will always like the characters better. In Battle Royale, I think I will like the. I always like the game better in Battle Royale, but it's not that I. It's a preference one over the other, but I just love post-apocalyptic. What would you do in a survival situation? Sort of things in general, yeah. But just something that has more of a Lord of the Flies flavor.
Yeah, know? And I guess that's why is that it's interesting, because I was thinking about the idea of like humans being scum in movies where. The central message is kind of, yeah, exactly. When the chips are down, people act like animals. And I don't tend to walk into movies wanting to see that. Like, that's why I haven't I never had to read Lord of the Flies in school, and I didn't seek it out, you know. Or Battle Royale I watched because I was at a bar, and I saw almost the whole movie. But, you know, that's the time I watched it. But
it's not that there weren't a diversity of motivations. Oh. And that's another reason why I like that Battle Royale, at least narrative-wise, slow, even though it's just 3 days long, and I think the Hunger Games takes much longer in the actual book, right? It's like 2 weeks or something. But that we don't kill off a bunch of characters all at once. We gradually stretch it out is because we get to see a whole spectrum of motivations. Mm-hmm. We get to see the people that refuse to kill each other and choose suicide rather than commit murder.
In Battle Royale.
In Battle Royale. We have the ones that only kill out of a sense of incredible fear. The ones that all of a sudden are, you know, they're inept at killing, but they are willing to say, I will do whatever it takes to survive. Mm-hmm. The ones that actually are good at killing and do whatever it takes to survive. The antagonist bosses that you meet at the end. The people that refuse to think that there's only one way off the island, and that's death or murder. The ones that are, there's a subplot of people trying to subvert the game from the inside, hacking in, making makeshift bombs, stuff like that. You know, you've got the noble person who's just going around the island to make sure that mm-hmm. the girl he has a crush on is defended from people that are going to try to pick her off.
Yeah, and I guess...
And I think that's great because each new character you see something new, a different possibility, which is very Lord of the Flies. Maybe Lord of the Flies had sort of a one team versus the other, the ones that are not going to devolve and the ones that devolve, and then sort of the constant defection from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
But I guess what I was saying before was that movies that I perceive as being nihilistic, maybe not nihilistic, but maybe fatalistic, I don't tend to seek out, but something like I was actually thinking about, I watched... most of, like, I sort of fast forwarded through the scenes I remembered really well, RoboCop this week, because I watched RoboCop 2 a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at it and I was thinking about, one, how much better of a director Peter Weller is than the guy who did RoboCop 2, which is actually funny because the guy who did RoboCop 2 directed Empire Strikes Back, but his eye, he must have had like the best cinematographer ever for Empire Strikes Back, because the way RoboCop 2 is shot is very pedestrian. Like, I think, so I thought it was interesting because the thing that I thought saved RoboCop 2, because RoboCop is just so much more better written, so much more charismatic, and Peter Weller gets to do a lot more in it. Nancy Allen gets to really have a character in it, whereas she's just sort of a like foil for RoboCop in the second one. I think the thing that saved it was how fatalistic and nihilistic and like willing to accept that almost everyone was awful in this society. I thought that gave it an interesting edge. And having a kid who was a serial killer and who was a drug lord, but who still at the end like dies, and like I love the scene where the kid's dying and he's like, "Hey, RoboCop, you've died, right?" Or no, RoboCop, do you know what it's like to die? And he goes, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "Fucking sucks." The kid says. Wow. And I thought that was, and that, you know, because they don't, I mean, I guess they sort of had a schmaltzy, like, oh, look, the kid has a tender death, but I thought it was more just like, look, this kid's dying, and he is still a kid, and he is still dying, but don't forget he's, you know, a drug dealer. Like, that kind of stuff saved it. The really dark, really awful stuff of it was the only part that was interesting. So I think mm-hmm. it's funny that I guess I sort of, as a, like, you know, as a dainty little flower, I don't think I want to see that kind of stuff on screen, but when it is, I'm like, oh, yeah!
Yeah. And well,
on that note, have you heard of Series 7, The Contenders? It came out in 2001.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this movie? It's called Series 7, The Contenders.
No.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to actually see it. This is one of those movies that it was kind of hard to find back in 2001 because that was before, like, you know, Netflix and that kind of stuff. So I remember reading a review, you know, and being excited to try and see it, and then it never played in my town that I was aware of. It was a pregnant woman is the winner of a previous round of basically Survivor, the reality show, but with guns, where it's people straight up killing each other. So... and you don't know what the prize is. It just throws you into this universe and lets you know that this is a reality show. It's a really popular show. These people have chosen to be on it, you know?
It's like that episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, what was this?
Bad Wolf, Game Station 5. It was the series two-part finale of Series 1 back in the Christopher Eccleston
days.
This
sounds like it has Rose in it.
Yes, it does. Relax, let me finish.
I'm busy dismissively wanking.
Good use of the term wanking.
Well, that's, I stole that phrase from Film Drunk. They use that whenever something is just like, I'm not interested in this.
Yeah, well, okay, so here the idea is the Doctor and Rose and Captain Jack, who's a companion at this point in time.
Oh, Captain Jack Sparrow, back when he was on Doctor Who.
Yeah, of course. You know.
Savage.
Him and the Army of Space Ass Pirates. Barrowman.
Dude, do you remember that the version of Treasure Island in the game Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the Treasure Island casino in that was called Pirates in Men's Pants?
Oh, God, no. I see the Treasure Island from where I am right now, but it's just good old family fun.
Did you have a chance to... Actually, it's not anymore. Do you have a chance to check out, I guess, the pirate boat show there still has their awesome pirate boat, but instead of it being a kid-friendly, you know, sort of Pirates of Penzance style, you know, pirates, at least for a while it was like scantily clad women.
No, you usually have to go to a floor show for that, but...
Well, no, but that's what I mean, is they're free, the free public show at Treasure Island for a little
while. Yeah, no, it seemed pretty family friendly and tame. When
they
I
must have brought it back. It. I know at least that.
I was on my way from Caesars to the Wind at the time. So,
well, sorry, they announced that. I don't know if they ever went through with it, but what they said was, they said Treasure Island. We're no longer Treasure Island. We're TI. And I'm like the rapper. And they're like, yeah, exactly like the rapper. And I'm like, how am I having?
Yeah, that's right.
How am I having a conversation with you? You're a press release, and it's like, fuck off. I'm an awesome press release. And then it's like, yeah, we're gonna have naked women on our pirate boat. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like it's ever gonna happen. And they're like, no, it totally is. So thank you for confirming. Nope.
And
TI wussed out.
We realize that Thor's talking to a magazine by himself.
Wait.
In the bathroom. Again.
I did also read, this wasn't, when I say it was a press release from Treasure Island, I mean, I read this in the, on the last page of Jugs Monthly.
I love how classy this establishment is sometimes.
I like that we went from like our...
Is there such a thing as like, you know how there's this straight man in a comedy duo? Is it just like I've become the prude man?
Well, I like how we...
It's like, sex joke, naughty word, and Balder looks on in pain.
Well, it's interesting that occasionally I'll rise to your level and we'll have, like, you know, conversations about, you know, like, you know, where I'll try and use big words, but then eventually it all devolves down to me talking about boobs. Or dicks.
Whatever. Oh, you know what? This is more of the Hunger Games was my secret and tacit way of getting to talk about Battle Royale more on the show, because I don't talk enough about obscure and violent Japanese movies.
A little yellow basket.
Yeah, there we go. But I was actually rewatching it, and I've been sort of evangelizing people here about Battle Royale, and it's like, oh yeah, you've heard this Hunger Games, and it's like, you know, I'm sure you've seen Lord of the Flies, and I'm sure you've seen The Running Man, but here's this movie that I think is pretty neat and came out years before Hunger Games, actually, so it was kind of a thing, and I show them the Battle Royale, and every time I watch it, I notice something that I didn't notice the other time.
That's cool.
That my favorite character, Mr. Kitano, actually, is just as tragic a character as the sort of ringer character that's put into the games because he won it one year. So they like to have, they occasionally like to put in ringers that will, you know, be very competitive and kill people.
So in the movie. They have this ringer, but like we were talking about, in the movie it's not televised, so what's the purpose of the ringer?
That's not entirely fleshed out. I think in the movie it's made much clearer that this is some sort of disciplinary action. And that, you know...
Oh, because the guy gets stabbed, the teacher gets like stabbed in the face by one of the students at the beginning, right?
Yeah, and the teacher, or in the... leg, and the teacher becomes the sort of games master for that year.
Is that Mr. Kitano?
Mr. Kitano, my man, Mr. Kitano.
Is he related to Chris Kitano?
No, he's actually he's played by an an actor called Takeshi Kitano. It's kind of weird. In some way, you could argue that he plays himself. Even though he's sort of a comic actor.
Isn't that Takeshi? Isn't that the same family name as the guy who plays Godzilla?
Sure, why not?
Well, what's the name of the guy who plays Godzilla?
What is his name?
How can you not know this? You've seen every Godzilla movie 18,000 times.
Because it's getting late. I feel quite bad about not being able to say what his name is. But
it's okay. We can. If I was doing any editing on this episode, we could edit it out and have you say it.
it's another weird moment because he started off as like a comedian and then got into like really serious action movies. And the idea of Kitano is that he's this violent sort of vindictive freak who's really seeming to enjoy the death of all these students. And you realize that the reason why he's there more than anything else is to give the one young girl in the class who he appreciated as being the nice one vague undertones of inappropriate teacher affection. But the idea was he had this terrible relationship with his daughter, and that he sort of agrees to be this fictitious game master to be, you know, get his revenge, and also to tweak the game in such a way that the girl and the people that sort of protect the girl get away, as sort of a grand moral test, and those people that can manage to choose the one I like seem to be good eggs, so I'll let them get away.
That's interesting. Yeah. I need to rewatch this then, because I totally, like I said, I was watching it at a bar, and I didn't pick that up.
You're watching with the wrong crowd. You have to watch it with me and get over the whole fact that it is kind of gory.
Yeah, well, I don't think that bothered me. It was more just that it was actually funny. I was watching it with a guy who was a big fan of it, and he was like sitting there, and he was like, "Yeah, man, I haven't seen this since I was like 15." And as he's watching it, he's like, "I don't know, maybe it's like something like, you know, Boondock Saints, where if you didn't see it when you were a kid and weren't like, this is so badass, you won't appreciate it." But I don't think, like I said, we weren't looking at it on all these, you know, sort of on the character relationships that you're describing. We were just looking at it as an action movie.
Well, see, the trick to get the character relationships down is to
have subtitles on would probably help.
A movie full of Japanese named characters is hard to a Westerner who is just not used to these names and surnames. So I have a list of nicknames that I give them that make it easier to parse the characters and their motivations.
Also, I'm not sure if they had subtitles on. That might not have helped either.
Oh.
Okay, so the guy who plays Godzilla, totally different name. I'm not sure why I got confused with Takeshi Kitano. It's HARUONAKAJIMI.
Haru Nakajima.
Thank you, yeah. Does have a similar number of syllables to Takeshi Kitano, but other than that, absolutely no similarities.
Yeah, Takeshi Morishima is a professional wrestler that I'm, you know, kind of a fan of.
Takakura Ken is in the Sidney Pollack movie The Yakuza, which I'm going to buy on Amazon Prime very soon because it stars Robert Mitchum, and it's the slogan is
pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's from the 70s. It's older Robert Mitchum, and the slogan is "A man never forgets. A man pays his debts." And it has this great poster that I'll actually, if I remember, make the image for this episode. That's Robert Mitchum in like red on black. You know, very silhouetted, very darkly lit. It's just him lighting a cigarette, and then like some. It's the guy, Takakura Ken, also like sitting there smoking with him. And then it says, the Yakuza, 100 years ago, they were called samurai.
No, they weren't.
I know, it's not true.
They were called ninjas.
It doesn't need to be true.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be true to be an awesome
movie. Hundreds
of
years ago, the president of Italy was called the Mafia.
Hundreds of years ago, the president of Italy was not Nicolae Sarkozy, but somehow also had a victory wife.
The president of Italy wasn't Sarkozy. That's the French one.
Sorry. The president of France is the one with the victory wife.
Yes, a very victorious wife right there. No, we're talking about Berlusconi.
Oh my God, he's a douchebag. Sarkozy, he's resigned now, right? Berlusconi had to resign.
Oh yeah, Berlusconi's gone finally. Yeah.
I remember the bugle, me and Loki's.
To our friends over there in Italy, we are just so happy for you because, you know, as one of the oldest countries in the Western world, you can do it. You could have done so much better than that.
One of the oldest countries?
It's like watching a really close female friend with an abusive boyfriend. And it's like, you want to do something, but you can't just kick his ass because she'll take his side anyway. So you have to somehow convince her that this guy is cheating on her and doing a lot of heroin.
Oh my God! Yes, that is the best description of Berlusconi I've ever heard.
You know, good on you, Italy. We're happy for you.
Well, the sad part was that they didn't even have the satisfaction of finally voting him out of office. He was forced to resign by the EU, you know?
Look, dude, you're finally beginning to embarrass the rest of us.
Well, do you remember one of the things? Obviously, part of it was that he was just running the country so badly that they thought it was going to impact the euro, which I'm sure it was. But, you know, the other thing was, do you remember the taped recording that I remember hearing about this through the Bugle, actually, Loki's favorite podcast. My favorite podcast is obviously Thor's Hour of Thunder.
As is mine. As is all of yours out there who are probably listening to us.
My second favorite is Flicks That Church Forgot, though. So thanks again for Reverend Peter Lowe's for answering our questions about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused because European politics confuse me sometimes. Head of state and head of government are different over there, isn't it? Berlusconi was the prime minister, not the president, wasn't
he? Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. But then Sarkozy was the president, or is the president of Italy, right? Not the prime minister?
No, Sarkozy's still France.
Hey, you know those times where, like, when I kept confusing Marvel and DC, or where I just pick a term and decide that I'm going to reverse it with another term? Well, it's one of those times, Balder.
All right, fair enough.
The sad thing is I'm only on my third beer. It's a Walt Whit. It has a big-ass photo of Walt, or a drawing, rather, of Walt Whitman, and it is an unfiltered Belgian white.
Good to know.
And according to the Surgeon General, you shouldn't drink it while pregnant.
Sounds refreshing.
It does, unless you're pregnant.
Well, it would still be refreshing. It's just your child would be, you know, mentally handicapped, perhaps. That's not funny.
That's true. It's not funny.
There we go. See? I've made you into a prude, finally. I am so evil.
So it's been about an hour. I always forget to time this, but... I think we should start to wrap this up. Frasia, do you have any anything you wanted to discuss in pop culture or geek culture this week, or any final thoughts? Goats. The goats ate her cats, so she's not able to come back.
Goats ate her cats. Oh, I'm glad you actually were able to find the right one eventually. Anyway, let me end with this. My own sort of delayed reaction.
Oh, I almost forgot. Wait. Yeah. First of all, we'll let Frasia talk because I believe I heard the sound of a catless chariot crashing down from the sky. But second, we're going to end this with Balder. Have you heard Mr. Mark Hamill's Easter egg on the Arkham City? I don't play video games, but a friend of mine was telling me about the Arkham City video game. At the end, he sings. Which ballad does he sing? Mark Hamill sings. Shit.
He's probably got a better voice than shit.
No, Mark Hamill sings, and it's amazing. As the Joker, he sings Only You. Have you heard this?
No.
So we're going to end this episode with my friend Alan's impression, which is a very good impression of Mark Hamill's The Joker singing Only You. This is he showed me this the other day. It's from the end credits of Arkham City. So that will be our end theme music this week rather than Flight of the Valkyries.
All right. So in my own delayed reaction, too bad Loki's not around here to hear it. Rango.
Did you see Rango? Oh! What'd you think?
I liked it. It was quirky. It was dark. It wasn't a kid's movie. And you know I despise movies that are just for kids. I like ones that have, well, let's say darker elements to them. And I just really enjoyed them. And there was Johnny Depp reprising his role as Hunter Thompson.
Except an iguana.
No, you didn't. I mean, in the beginning of the movie.
Really?
He's falling out of the car, or his terrarium from a car, into the desert, and he keeps like bouncing back and forth from car to car as he's, you know, making his way to the ground. And one of the cars he lands in is the red shark from Fear and Loathing. And there in the back seat is Dr. Gonzo. In the front seat, there's Hunter Thompson with the hat and the same shirt that Rango's wearing, and with the cigarette. And he's like, oh, another one.
That's amazing. It would only be better. The only way that scene could have been better is if he said, we can't stop here. This is lizard country.
Yeah. So that made me happy.
I'll have to see it just for that scene, or at least watch that scene. That's really cool.
It's really early on in the movie, but it made me happy on the inside.
And then the cast
and the cast is really good in it.
And I heard the back half of it is simultaneously a Western and a remake of Chinatown.
Remake of Chinatown, really?
I don't know. I read a couple of reviews that said that. I think they were just talking about the fact that it was over a struggle for like it was a scheme to like a fake shortage of water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the element for Chinatown. When they said it incorporates elements that the villain uses in Chinatown, I was like, it's about John Huston fucking his daughter? Spoiler alert. I gotta learn to say that before I spoil things.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, Thor. Good point. But yeah, it's I highly recommend it. And just all the people I like. Johnny Depp, Isla Fisher, Hottie Alert, Alfred Molina.
So you like Isla Fisher, but you don't like Amy Adams?
Yes. Isla Fisher is the more attractive and more Australian version of Amy Adams.
She's Australian?
I think she is.
I did not know that. I didn't know much about her other than the fact that she's married to Sacha Baron Cohen, which is cool.
Oh, well, there's some sort of strange thing. So, she is Australian. I'm right.
Oh, no, I wasn't doubting you at all. I just didn't know anything about her other than the fact that she's, you know, married to Sacha Baron Cohen. Oh, what do you think of The Dictator? People are saying they think the trailer looks a little lazy, but I don't know. I have so much respect for him covering Ryan Seacrest in the fake Kim Jong-il ashes.
Yeah, no, it's just, I worry sometimes his characters are hit and miss because, you know, Borat, super success. Bruno really couldn't do more than what he did on television.
Yeah, although...
I think what's the thing? You know, he can't go back to Borat, but he can always go back to Ali G in the same way Coogan can always go back to Alan Partridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always every 5 years he should make an appearance as Ali G.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make it still funny.
But yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know about the new the Dictator. We'll see how it does.
It was funny because I didn't see Borat because I didn't like. It's funny, I didn't really get it. I thought it was about making, you know, I didn't know anything about him other than the fact that I'd seen some clips of Ali G where, like, you know, I didn't get that Ali G was supposed to be like a white kid from like, you know, like, you know.
You don't understand the hit urban culture.
Yeah, well, that's what I didn't get was that I didn't know much about it. So I thought it was him making fun of like black people. And I was like, this is a little weird. I didn't get it was him making fun of white people trying to be black, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny. So once I finally figured that out, I felt like an idiot for being like, why is he just making fun of black people? But so for... Yeah,
how is he getting away with this?
Well, I don't know. Have you seen fucking... And a very clever, writer and actor, but the guy who did Summer Heights High in his new one, Nasty Boys or Bad Boys or whatever... Angry Boys, that's it, for HBO. He just plays straight up a black dude, and he's this white Australian guy, and he's playing it with, you know, his skin darkened. And I'm like, you're funny, and you have a black guy playing your dad, but why are you playing this role exactly?
Is supposed to... Hey, come on now. Seth MacFarlane has Mike Henry play a black guy.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just don't.
Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I get that when they were creating the show, he just had all his friends on it, and I like that they have Wanda Sykes play his wife. But yeah, like, I find Mike Henry, you know, not to be obviously, I'm white and I can't speak for minorities, but like, I personally don't like that they have Mike Henry playing the little baby on the Cleveland show because the baby is supposed to be all black and gangster. And, you know, I don't know, I personally find it a little weird that it's a white dude doing an impression of what a black kid in the suburbs would think would be gangster. I don't know, it seems like too many levels removed to be, like, for you to be able to make a comment. Like, it's, you know, not that I think it's offensive. It's not nearly as bad to me as the fact that you have an excellent black actor, whose name I'm unfortunately blanking on SNL, who they hired because he does a good Obama impression, and they still have that let that white guy play Obama on SNL.
Mm. Fair enough. Yeah. And on that scathing sociopolitical well, commentary,
a surprising
right there,
bit of sincerity from me.
we really know what brings the people back for more.
Dick
doing
jokes.
Doing the opposite of what the male asks for, and sincerity when it's unexpected.
So, for those of you wondering exactly what Thor's Hour is about, because what do we say, pop culture and geek culture, and you know anything that is both geeky and awesome. But I think in general, it's you know
two white guys talking about stuff.
two white guys. Being...
If we had a few more people, we'd be a British panel television show.
It's basically, yeah, it's, when it boils down to it, it's two white dudes being both incredibly immature and incredibly, like, overly analytical, sometimes simultaneously.
Yourself, I'm quite mature.
I didn't say well hung, I meant juvenile.
Oh. What?
When you, the way you said I'm
what?
Quite the way you said I'm quite mature, it seemed like you were trying to you thought that when I said immature, you meant that unlike your theme song, you did not think that AC/DC thought you had big balls.
No, I am actually 73 years old and have a mustache. No, I don't.
You could be younger than 73 and still have a mustache.
Damn it, why didn't you tell me this before?
I created an aging machine just because I wanted to grow a mustache.
That's why I call it the mustache ride. Doctor's got the TARDIS, I've got the mustache ride. It takes me through time and space.
Holy shit. Oh my god, we need to write a screenplay about a dude who travels through time and he calls his time machine the mustache ride.
Inspector Space Time.
Hopefully that typing sound you hear is Frasier writing the screenplay for Mustache Ride right now.
Copyright.
How
tonight.
Did you know? I was gonna make it a surprise.
A surprise screenplay.
Best Christmas ever.
On that note, I think Balder has some messages.
Oh, let's take it home to the scores then. So, in a surprisingly low-scoring game, well, it's not to be expected because I think we're all a little bit under the weather, or at least at not 100% energy. But thankfully, that means we were a lot more dignified than we usually are. And by usually are, I mean shouting a lot. Incoherently.
Yeah, this you will probably notice, listeners, this is probably the least number of times you've had to throw your earbuds off when we've maxed out in the red on audio.
You're welcome. So let's see what we got here. Freya is in third place with 4 points.
But I said so much. All that wit and wisdom.
You got a point for every time you talked.
Oh,
was
thank
it,
you.
Was it you was it Walt Wit a unfiltered Belgian-style white ale beer?
Oh, don't give me the product placement. They don't pay us for that. I'm deducting points.
If I say it enough, they'll pay
Eat
us.
Fresh.
Oh, make that Freya in third with 3.
Wait, she lost points for saying eat fresh? I thought that...
I was referencing the corpo humanoid subway.
The corp. Okay, you're back up to four for using the term corpo humanoid. The scoring never ends. But in second place with 25, yours truly. And as promised, in hopes that this will make her feel better at some point in the near future, Loki gets to win the game on 92 points.
So basically this
and
is
that
like...
leaves
wait, time out. This is like when Al Pacino did all these like pretty good movies and didn't get recognized, so they gave him a pity Oscar for Scent of the Woman. Did you just give Loki a pity what are these even called? Baldur's Big Balls?
I was trying to make a nice gesture because I, as much as we bicker, am sad that she is sick. So,
Loki, you may be sick, but I just want to let you know this is totally a hollow victory. This is you hoo-hawed your way to an Oscar.
Hoo-hawed. And Thor losing with minus 140.
Wait. I was only at minus 140?
I told you it was a very low-scoring game.
Yeah, that's like a Twitter.
You usually get much higher into the negatives.
Oh, I like that, Frasier. It's I have enough negative points to make a tweet out of it. You were saying 140 characters.
Yep. Point for each character of the Twitter tweet.
Twitter alphabet. I really like the fact that the Twitter alphabet has so many more letters than the regular alphabet.
It has the colon. It has the smiley face sign made out of a colon and a dash and a parentheses.
Colon. All right. Well, those are the scores. Let's try to do better next time.
Yes, teacher.
Okay. So on that, let me just remind you all that the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. And crime doesn't pay unless it's illegal gambling here in Las Vegas.
Only you can make this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do and fill my heart with love for only you. Only you can make this change in me, for it's true. You are my destiny. When you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you. Only you can make this change in me, for it's true, you are my destiny. When I hold your hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you.